The best bits of Florida, the Knolls, no snow, no state income tax, and the white sands of the Gulf beaches. And the White Sands Breakfast Blend from DeLuna Coffee. A combination of five different beans, some roasted to a light roast, some to a dark roast. The end product, a perfect blend that will perk you up better than a day on the beach. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com to browse all their top shelf blends and check out their Facebook and Instagram. DeLuna Coffee, all one word. DeLuna Coffee, proudly owned and operated by the Lemix family. Loyal and passionate FSU alum.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time
to wake up.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Wake up! What is going on? It is Wake Up WarChant. It is fueled by DeLuna Coffee. DeLunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Use the promo code WarChant15 when you're doing your shopping over at DeLuna Coffee. Again, this time of season, Christmas time, holiday season, whatever you'd like to celebrate, go to shop at DeLunaCoffee.com. Go to gifts at DeLunaCoffee.com. Look, it's all there for you. It's all there for you. No thinking, no stress. Click a couple buttons, type in a couple numbers and letters. Boom. Delicious coffee brought to you right on your doorstep. Give it to your friends. Give it to your family. Bit of a correction from yesterday, Corey. Shout out to our guy, Dro2Real83. I mistakenly assumed he'd like to partake in the agricultural arts. But apparently, Dro is simply a nickname given to him because his name is Pedro. So, my bad, Pedro.
Oh, okay. Well, it's an honest mistake, man. Yeah. That's an honest mistake on your part. Happened.
Corey would never make such a mistake, though. What's up, Corey? How are you, man?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. How are you doing? You having a good day? Having a good, what are we at, Wednesday? December 8th,
look at that.
2021?
Yeah, year of our Lord, 2022. Yeah, I'm all right, man. I wish you were down here in Tallahassee, though. You know, get some tennis, just your general aura, just lifting everything up. Like, you're high tide, bro. You just lift all ships, you know?
Thanks, man. That was my nickname in high school. Yeah. Old high tide. Here comes high tide walking down the halls.
Speaking of high tide, lifting, raising, how about Rising Spear, Corey? Have you heard about Rising Spear?
I have indeed. I'm hoping to do more on it later this week. Write something, maybe even get one of the founders, the principals in this endeavor. Maybe they could even be on our show. Maybe we could have a little segment when they're on our show. But yes, it seems like it's not Florida State's answer to what Texas is doing, because that would imply they just put it together yesterday after they saw the Horns for Help or whatever the Texas thing they did with the linemen with the $50,000 each
year.
The
Pancake Factory.
Sure. But it's something that's been in the works now for a while, and they sent out a release on Tuesday about it and what it's trying to do. And, yeah, so the things we were talking about yesterday and how you have to compete not just in coaching salaries and facilities, but how you're going to, you know, financially reward your student athletes. Well, you know, this is it. This is Florida State's version of that, or at least one of them. And it seems like a good idea to publicize that.
Third party company not affiliated with Florida State University. The two principals are former members of the executive board of directors of Seminole Boosters. Both of them resigned from their board positions to focus on this endeavor. So this isn't, yeah, to Corey's point, this isn't kind of it was like a spur of the moment thing, yes. Or we're just going to, you know, I think there's a lot of support, probably a lot of planning going into this. It would have been nice. Again, this is Aslan being Aslan, I guess. The thing that caught my eye about these Texas things, whether it's whatever it's called, Clark Field Collective and the Pancake Factory thing with the offensive lineman endowment, is they were able to make their announcement, set their mission statement, but then even more importantly to the student athletes out there, put dollar figures out there. Like Clark Field Collective has said they already have $10 million ready to go to various sports organizations, various sports teams on campus. And then obviously offensive linemen, Pancake Factory thing is they've got $50,000 earmarked if you're a scholarship offensive lineman. They haven't released any sort of figure. So I wonder if this is one of those things where, all right, this is how we want to do it. They're going to break it up into two sort of branches. I wish they would have flipped it around. I wish they would call the gold standard their non-for-profit platform. But the gold standard is going to represent for-profit opportunities sponsored and supported by local and national businesses. And then the Garnet Spirit will be not-for-profit, creating opportunities to engage student-athletes through appearance fees to help meet the needs of local communities through clinics, fundraising, community service projects, etc. It would have been cool if they were like, we've got this amount of money ready to go. But maybe this is one of these things where it's like, all right, we got everything in place. Now come to us, bring us your tired, huddled, not making a bowl game masses. Time to start ponying dollars up.
Well, so. I would say this. I don't think you release something like this if you don't have – you've got some startup capital for sure. I don't think you just release this as like a GoFundMe. I'm sure they've talked to people they need to talk to get some the ball rolling. But, you know, you think about what Texas did. I'm not sure that's the right way to go, man. Like, it's the right way to go for O-linemen. But what about the defensive linemen or the linebackers? Like, oh, cool. Joey gets 200. Joey's the third string right guard, and he's going to get $200,000 a year in his career. Maybe 250 if he's here for 5 years. Or if he's on the Emmett Rice plan, that's 350. That's $350,000. So I don't know if in moving forward, I don't know if you're going to be so specific like Texas is. I think, like I talked about yesterday, I think we'll get to a point where college coaches will be lauding how much money they've raised or how much money their athletes have gotten through NIL deals. Like, hey, this past year we had $4.4 million through NIL deals. I don't know if they want it broken up where every player knows everybody else's player, every other player's business. Right. Like, you can go ask that player, but it's not like the NFL where, you know what the wide receiver's making because it's public knowledge. I think this is kind of like we want to lump sum and we're going to divvy it. It's going to be divvied up this way or that way. I don't know that you announce. I know that's not necessarily what you were saying.
Well, they also have got their tight end program, the Burn Ends, four-figure monthly stipend to tight ends. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they identify the offensive line as a big deal. They see what Alabama's doing. Maybe if we get some of those. They lost two really good guys from the state of Texas, from Austin, two twins that actually end up in Tuscaloosa. So, yeah, I mean, not to say that they're not going to pay the quarterbacks to do stuff, but, I mean, it's still pretty bold. But I get your point. Eventually you're going to hit a mark in all this where you got to be maybe a little bit more, I don't know what's the proper term, but maybe a little bit more selective in how you release information. But everybody's going to get a piece of the pie, though, Corey,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Well, not everybody, but most people, the people that deserve it, will get pieces
people.
Of the pie.
That'd
yeah.
Be, you know.
But I don't know that you want to say we've raised $1.2 million in this endeavor so far, and then you have, I don't know, Pokey, Jashawn Corbin going, okay, where's my cut? What do I get out of it? Like, I don't know that you want to, like, broadcast yet how much. That would just be me personally. But you do want your fans to know. You want your players to know. You absolutely want the recruits and transfer portal kids to know that there is something in place that you can say, look, this is what we're doing. This is the plan. The dominoes are falling to where you'll be able to get paid for your services and your sponsorships. But I don't know if you want to be like, this is how much money we've raised so far, but it is right now, like in the infancy stages. But I do think it was smart to get out front and tell people you have a plan out there. You know what I mean? Like, right, I think right. that I don't know that they had the blessing of Florida State to release that publicly on Tuesday and send out a press release. But I'm pretty sure they had the blessing of Florida State. Like, you have to – yeah. I mean, this is the way of the world in 2021. You have to let people know that your fans know that you're behind the scenes trying to get some stuff done.
So what's more important then, Corey, for John Q. Seminole and Jane Q. Seminole that are listening to this show, to give $100 to Rising Spear or to give $100 to Seminole Boosters Incorporated?
Don't ask me that. That's Sophie's choice. That's Sophie's choice, Aslan. I don't know that I can answer that. You know, in the short term, I mean, I
will
feel
there
like
be
you feel...
will there be hints you think given? Will there be partners? I do wonder how that's all going to work out because we're all moving towards the same direction. We all want to make the program as successful as possible. I do wonder, like, will there ever be friction between the two entities? But I think there's going to be lanes cut out, I would think, and everyone's going to know to stay in their lane. I mean, again, the two principals that are running this, they've got names. They're real human beings. Alan Flaumenhoft and Bob Davis. Thank you, Bob. Shout out to your parents. Thanks, Bob. Alan, hey, man, you know, it's same boat, buddy. My parents, too, man. I get it. Love you, man. Immigration life. But these two, you know, these two guys obviously worked with Seminole boosters. So they're this isn't like, and again, this has got the blessing of, you know, at least War Chant. We're posting it on the website. So we definitely wouldn't be trying to, you know, promote anything that's going to create friction between the back of the house and the front.
No, I think, you know, you're hoping that maybe, I don't know that you're fishing from two different ponds there. I think that you're hoping that maybe, you know, your big money boosters, your big money donors, you know, slice up the pie a little bit. I mean, I know maybe you don't want that, but you've got to figure out, I mean, getting players is really important. And, you know, they have the Athletes Advisory Council where Jalen Howell, freshly minted national champion, Jalen Howell, she's on that. So is like Derek Brooks and Charlie Ward.
Kez McCorvey.
Casey Weldon, yeah.
Megan King.
So
Nikki Akumo.
Yeah. So they got you know, they've got some Florida State athletics royalty to be advisors for this thing. And, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But you wonder, like, so say Travis Hunter sends his fax in on December 15th. I just can't envision a scenario when he sends it in. Like in January, even if he gets a deal, even if there's a deal waiting for him or him and Duffy or him and, you know, and then two of the portal kids, I don't know that you want to announce. It's just not something I feel like you want to broadcast. I think you broadcast the totality of the money that's been spent. The money that's been raised. Not so much who's getting what. Because imagine Travis Hunter, maybe he, you know, there's a good chance he might have the high, he would, right? He'd have the biggest NIL deal of anybody on the team. He should.
Even more than Jordan
Travis? For a number
of
reasons. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think this is the number one recruit in the country. I think so. You know, 1 or 1A. But, you know, how is that when you're in summer workouts? How's that going to be with your teammates that, you know, you haven't been played a down yet? And you've already made more money than most of your teammates are going to make their entire careers here. That's one of the offshoots. That's one of the unintended consequences of things like this. So I think the best idea is to—it's not under the table money, which has been going on forever. Not at Florida State, obviously, pristine at Florida State, but other schools, there's been under the table money going to the big stars forever. But with something like this, I just don't know that you want to publicize how much certain players are getting. Again, not that you even brought that up. It's just that's something you have to think about. That's egos that need to be massaged, and it's one of the unintended consequences of these deals is. You know, how is Jarvis Brownlee going to feel about this kid? You know, Jarvis Brownlee played 800 snaps this year. Travis Hunter hasn't played a snap. How's he going to feel about Travis Hunter making whatever he would make? Throw out a number, X amount of dollars when he's making none of that or 1/20th of that or 1/50th of that. I mean, that's the way the world works. I get it. But with the new guys that haven't really accomplished anything yet at Florida State, it's going to be a delicate balance there. But, hey, They all need money. So that's the reality we're living in.
Do you feel like you're the last one out there when it comes to understanding sports betting? You don't know where to start? Well, start with figuring out and understanding where the market is moving with these game lines, half points. It can be very important in swinging a winner or a loser on your bet. Find out the smart bets. Listen to BetQL Daily, sponsored by FanDuel. It is the must-listen show for sports bettors and sports fans alike. Just go to your favorite search engine, type in BetQL Daily. You'll probably pop up on their Odyssey page. And you can see the way they break everything down in their programming. Little 10-minute videos, 15-minute videos that'll be specifically focused perhaps on the things you're interested in knowing about the sports betting game and the market and the games of the week. Host Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth, they serve up that wagertainment. It's sports talk that you love with betting insights. That's what wagertainment is. They do it every day over on Odyssey, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, or Spotify and your favorite podcast app. If you're not sure where to start with sports betting, start with BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Corey, what would John Clark, what would he want to bankroll? What would have been his brainchild in the NIL space?
Yeah, man, that's. I think he'd want to know because he was a Golden Chief for at least a couple decades, I think. I would think he'd still want to be a Golden Chief. But then he would definitely be interested in this. Like, I think you're wanting to know where the money goes, how it goes. Is Travis Hunter going to be doing ads for Clark and Mascaro law offices? Like, how do you organize this? But I think he'd still be a Golden Chief. I don't think he'd lessen what he's giving on that front. But he would definitely be interested in helping out the players, knowing what the landscape is right now.
I'm interested to see how this breaks maybe along a generational line. I would think, again, my friends, they're Florida State alums. I don't think any of them are boosters. Take it up with them. I don't know. Come at me. I don't care. They're my friends. I still love them.
Yeah, what
them.
Are they they're, doing? Why aren't they
great
boosters?
Human
my,
beings.
Ex, Sorry, my ex-wife everybody. Is a booster.
Well, you know, they're just better than my friends, I guess, apparently. But I would think they would rather donate to boosters than donate to this kind of stuff. I do. I think they'd rather it go towards helping build a facility or help pay a coach, to upgrade a coaching staff, anything that kind of goes into what Seminole Booster does, as opposed to it's pretty much just going to be a slush fund to get recruits. Cause I still think I'm seeing a lot of it, obviously on warchant.com, just a lot of air goes, the sport is over as we know it. There's no turning back. I feel dirty. So I think, you know, again, like, my friends, you know, we're late 30s, early 40s crowd. So we got a little bit of technology in our lives. We didn't have Facebook when we were in high school, but we had it when we were in college. I think there might be something there to where this still might even feel a little bit like, really? We're this is what we have to do now? Like, can I just give you money and you just, I don't know, build a building, put a couple bricks on my name or something? So I'm curious. Maybe I'll do a little crowdsourcing, ask my friends what they think about it.
Yeah, it's certainly a new world order when it comes to college football, but I don't know how it's even any dirtier than what has been going on for decades and decades. Like every SEC team not named Vanderbilt has been on probation multiple times, it would seem, for things like this. Almost every big-time football school has had some sort of recruiting violation or payment, and it's been going on forever. So wasn't that dirtier than this? Is it just because it's out in the open? It feels you'd rather it be like the just don't tell me about it.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
The quiet part.
I know
out
you're
loud.
Taking care of them. I know you've got a bag man. I know you've got multiple bag men. But we like our bags in the shadows. We don't like our bags out in the sunlight. Is that?
Hey, you need people like you know deep down in a place you don't like to talk about at parties. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, we don't want to talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but,
that's
yep.
right.
We're a message board, and then we see all these other numbers being thrown around by other universities, and it's like, why aren't we doing this? Well, hey, we're doing it. We kind of have to do it. So pinch your nose and let's ride. Also, big news that came down on Tuesday, Corey, is that congrats, man, to Chris Marv. Shout out to Chris Marv, a Florida State linebackers coach, has accepted the defensive coordinator position at Virginia Tech. Reporting courtesy of our Irish O'Fell here, apparently the new head coach, Brent Pry, I think his name is, was his position coach back at Vanderbilt back in the day. So the new head coach, his boss, was his position coach when he was in college. So Marv going from linebackers coach where I think – actually, I was typing this out earlier in the day. I think he was set to receive $500,000 if he would have stuck around for 2022. I think he might have been up to $500,000 this past season as well. But now he's going to be the defensive coordinator of Virginia Tech. We don't have any numbers on the contract, but I'm sure he's getting more money and obviously a bigger title with more prestige. So shout out to him. And I like hot boards. Maybe not a linebacker hot board, not as sexy as like a O-line. Well, I love you, Alex, because I'm not forcing you out. But coordinator hot boards got a little more sizzle. Head coaching hot boards, obviously, are where everything lies and just makes my heart really just happy. But linebacker coach opening here, Corey. What are your thoughts on him getting the defensive coordinator spot? I'm surprised, but good for him, man, for real. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Like, I feel like Florida State fans aren't sad about that at all, losing him, and it's also a great opportunity for him. I think he's 32, maybe, or 33. He's a young guy. He's kind of just, you know, kind of in the infancy, again, I'm going to keep using that word, of his career. So for him to be the defensive coordinator at a place like Virginia Tech this early, I'm not sure what was seen of the last 2 years that would make you think, okay, this guy is going to be a great defensive coordinator, but there's nothing you've seen that says he can't either. Like, he was not – the linebackers weren't great by any stretch in his 2 years at Florida State, but he didn't have a lot of great linebackers. Hey, and speaking of, Emmett Rice, we should point out, on Tuesday late afternoon, announced that he would be foregoing – if he had any eligibility left, he would be foregoing it, and he was declaring for the NFL draft.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Are you serious? Come on.
Yeah.
I would like to thank God for this amazing journey. I would also like to thank my family and friends and all of the coaches that were able to impact me as a player and a man. I would also like to thank the Knoll family for making this a great experience that I will have forever. Now with – that my time at FSU has come to an end. All right, next phase of my journey begins. I will be declaring for the draft.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Hey, you know, it had been his seventh year. He's got to be, I think he's legitimately 25 years old, 24, 25 years old. Like, he's not going to get drafted, clearly. He might not have been drafted even if he was coming off last year's season or the year before season. He hasn't been healthy enough. And hasn't been productive enough. But hey, man, crazier things have happened. If he's fully healthy, he could certainly go make a team on special teams and then work his way and become a linebacker. But you know, you certainly don't begrudge him his chance to go chase his dream. And he's been here long enough. Like, 6 years is a ton. That's a long, long time to be somewhere. I mean,
I would have never left Corey if I.
I know you wouldn't. Did he play with Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah.
He played with Derwin 16? And Dalvin for sure. He played with DeMarcus Walker for sure. Yeah. I mean, good night.
Jalen left after 15. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So he might have been recruited by Jalen, though. Jalen might have been his host. I mean, who knows? It's been a long time. So good luck to him. I hope it works out. I don't think that's a stunner. It's just a real bummer that he didn't get to play this last year because, you know, the strides they made on defense – you just wonder how much better they would have been with an experienced 23, 24-year-old like Emmett Rice, who's good when he's healthy. How much to have maybe Deloach and Rice on the field at the same time, what that would have looked like. But we didn't get to see it, and good luck to him either way. But going back to Marv, look, you have a guy on staff that you could slide into a linebacker spot if you want him to remain on staff. Like,
seamlessly.
He's not really on staff yet, but he could slide in there very easily, and you don't miss a beat. He has been on the road recruiting, so he might be the guy, and that's Randy Shannon. Also, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there because people have thrown it out to us. You got a guy that's a defensive-minded guy that just got fired from Miami. Maybe he wants to get right back into it. You wouldn't have to pay him a ton.
Nope.
Because, you know, he's getting $8 million from the University of Miami not to coach. And think about how motivated he'd be, Aslan. Number one, he's a Florida State guy.
Correct.
As much as he went to school at Florida State, he's been trying to beat them for 15 years. But and they probably cost him his job this year with that 4th-and-14. But he's a Florida State guy, and he wouldn't want nothing more than just to disembowel Miami every chance he gets.
Yeah.
Like, he is.
Did you see his statement? Did you see his statement?
Yes. Yeah. That he was clearly disappointed by the way they – and yeah, he had every right to be. So he'd have a little edge to him, maybe, when it came to recruiting against those guys. And he's got connections down there, but also so does Randy Shannon. I would think Randy Shannon would be the easiest possible solution there. He's already on staff. You're a week from signing day. Maybe Manny Diaz could be a quality control assistant. Who knows? But I would think that would be my first thought. Unless Randy Shannon gets offered a better job, like a DC job somewhere else, I would think he could slide, like you said, seamlessly into the linebacker spot.
I like the thought of both of them, right? Shannon as your linebacker's coach, because I don't think he'd want to stay analyst while Manny comes in and becomes the linebacker coach. But that'd be cool if they could figure out a way to get both of them. I wonder if Cristobal makes a run at Randy. I wonder if that would be an option for him.
We were talking about that on headlines. Wouldn't that be a little odd, though, like to get a former head coach to come back and be a position coach at that school that fired him?
But he played there, though. He's from there.
Well, you know. Right. But it's like, it would be like, Willie coming back as a quarterback's coach at Florida State.
But he never went here, man. He doesn't have, he grew up, whatever, liking this place, but it's different. He didn't bleed for this place.
Yeah. I think Cristobal having a former Miami, not just a former head coach, but a former Miami head coach on his staff, those dynamics could be tricky for sure. And we don't know how Randy Shannon was very, very happy when Florida State beat Miami this year. So we don't know how much animosity is still there between him and that university. So I think that would be I would be very surprised by that. But, you know, again, stranger things have happened. And if he leaves, yeah, just go get one of the other former Miami coaches that are out there on the vine right now.
Yeah. What do you think about Ernie Sims or Derek Nicholson? FSU 91 really trying to push the Derek Nicholson train. He's inside linebackers coach for Louisville. Maybe package it up with Vince Tyree.
I say Tyree, you say Tyree. We neither one of us are ever going to say Tyra because that's how it's spelled. Derek Nicholson, former Noel, AJ's brother. He's been at Louisville for a good minute too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's the position coach at Louisville, so he's been there for a while. I just think Norvell, I don't know that Norvell has a... If Norvell promotes Randy Shannon, then that should tell you what Norvell thinks of the guy, right? Or if he doesn't. Like, if Randy Shannon remains a quality control assistant, I would just be very surprised you have somebody that's clearly, qualified to coach a defensive position. By all accounts, did pretty well for them this year and was a big help this year. Right there on your staff or in your orbit, who's being paid by the university... You could just slide him right in as opposed to going and interviewing a guy that you don't have any relationship with. And that goes for Ernie, too. And look, man, I love Ernie. I know he's a Noel. Derek Nicholson, Ernie was one of the all-time big-time recruits in Florida State history. Yep. And Derek Nicholson played, I think, started 2 or 3 years at Florida State. I don't know what their connections with the city of Miami are, but I know what Randy Shannon's are. And, you need connections to South Florida, especially now. Because they're going to try to put a fence around it. Good luck, but they're going to try. So you need people that can get into South Florida and have connections. Nicholson, I think, is from North Carolina originally. Correct. And we all know Ernie is from Tallahassee. So, I would think you've got to have somebody on your staff that has connections to Miami. To me, that seems more like a no-brainer than going and getting a guy, even though, I think Ernie's at USF and Derek Nicholson's at Louisville. I don't know how you'd argue that they are absolute upgrades over what you get for Randy Shannon. Plus, Randy Shannon gives you a recruiting edge, you would think and hope, because of his connections to South Florida.
Do you need the token guy? Do you need the token young guy on your side of the ball, though? I think, not that that's what Marv was here for, but at least Marv gave you that young guy. And then there was a funny joke about, hope he doesn't take any of our players with him, because there's nobody to really take. So
right.
I wonder, because if you move Randy to linebacker coach, that you had Odell and Papuchis. And then Marcus Woodson is probably your youngest guy, I would think, on that side of the ball. Maybe Adam's younger than him. I'm not sure. So I wonder if you need that unbridled youthful enthusiasm, because you got that with Kenny on the offense. You got it with Yak, Atkins. Those guys are all down to earth, in tune with kids these days. So I wonder if that's going to be part of the calculus for Norvell. Would it be part of your calculus, like youth? Do you need that on your, at least on one side of the ball, to have somebody to recruit?
Well, no, you need somebody that will recruit. I don't care if they're 60 or if they're 30. Like, Ron Zook was in his mid-50s and was the best recruiter in the country there for a minute. If you have the energy and the wherewithal to do it, I don't know that age makes that much of a difference, especially because who really cares who the position, other than the linebackers he's recruiting, who cares how old or young the linebacker coach is? Like, at least Kenny oversees the whole offense, so they all care about their OC. But a linebacker's coach, I don't know. I think you get a guy that knows what he's doing, sure. You have to get somebody that's a monster on the recruiting trail. You just need to. These position coaches, you need guys that can recruit. And as we talked about a few shows ago, that was the one part where I think Marv, that's why so many Florida State fans were frustrated with him, is where are the recruits? They're in on all these other big-time players at almost every other position, including like quarterback, even some O-linemen. But when it came to linebackers, they just didn't seem to be in on a lot of them. You need to go find someone that can bring you some players and bring you some linebackers. And then, you know, hopefully, I mean, I don't think anybody would debate Randy Shannon's coaching acumen. But if he, like, if you don't think he can do it, like, it, again, they've gotten a year of him. And he's, I think he's been helping them recruit a little bit. So they know now, Norvell would have to know now, yeah, this guy has it in him. He's got the juice for it. Or he doesn't, which you can understand too. Randy Shannon's been coaching for 30 years. Maybe he doesn't like talking to 17-year-olds anymore. Maybe he's like, what is this TikTok bull? You know, whatever it is. And if that's the case, then yeah, I don't know that he's the right guy for the job. But that's just speculation. I don't know. I don't know that age would matter. Age would matter unless he seems tired. And I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a guy that seems like he's tired and kind of waiting for retirement.
All right. I was wondering, just wondering.
But I, hey, fair point. I think Norvell also, like, he's 40, right? So he's yeah. He's one of the younger coaches in the country. So you already got that going for you. I don't know that and he speaks their language, it would appear. So I would think that would be more than enough when you're talking about your head coach being youthful and maybe some other guys aren't. Hey man, have they had any trouble recruiting tight ends, Haslan? They've got more than any school in the country, and that guy's the oldest guy on the staff, isn't he?
Oh man! Shout out Chris Thompson. Also, portal news: Jayon McCluster has entered the portal, linebacker out of Largo High School, as well as True Thompson from Grayson. Proud Strong program. Is that Gwinnett? What county is that? Is that Cobb?
Yeah, that's Gwinnett. They won the they beat Collins Hill last year in the state championship game. They had the Jake Garcia kid transferred there.
That's right. Oh, yeah. He went to went from the West Coast of Valdosta and then to Grayson. Look at that. How was he eligible? How did they approve that?
It was so goofy. Like that show on Netflix, which is actually really bad, but it followed Valdosta in 2020. They go through the whole Garcia saga because it's Rush Propst that was the head coach, and apparently the two parents did an interview with ESPN where they said they specifically moved to Valdosta to get him eligible, and you're not allowed to admit that. But I don't know how it worked where he was eligible in Grayson, but he was. So him and his dad moved to Grayson, and he played for Grayson for like the last 10 games, and they won a state championship.
Is Wednesday championships for the GSHA or whatever?
It's this weekend. Collins Hill, they won their semifinal game over Grayson, I think. They beat them this year 30-0. So they're playing for the state championship on either Friday night or Saturday. I think Saturday. And I think they're playing at Turner Field, which is where Georgia State plays now.
Yeah.
But it's where the Braves used to play before they built the new stadium. So they're playing there. So Travis Hunter can end his career with a state championship on Saturday. And then and they play in the biggest division. There's 7A, I think. And then 4 days later, make a lot of money with Rising Spear.
There we go.
When he sends his fax to Florida State.
And if you're one of those people that does this, apparently now with Jayon transferring as well as True, and then Emmett declaring, I guess now that they're 23 spots open. I think 30 is the number that everybody on the message boards is thinking is going to be the number that they're going to bring in high school and then transfer portal guys. So there should be some other names probably starting to percolate in there if they want to get that 30 number. In case you were wondering, everybody, just in case you're wondering.
So did True and McCluster, did they do that on Tuesday?
Yes. Yeah.
So that gives Florida State, I think now they have the lead for the most kids that have entered the transfer portal this year. That gives them 13, joining the likes of Chuba Purdy and, on and on. Who else? It's been recent here.
Carter Boatwright.
Yeah, Jalen Goss.
Yeah.
People
Ira
like that.
Henry.
And so so when you look at these numbers, like last year, they lost some guys that could play. Now, they weren't big at Florida State.
Isaiah Bolden, somebody brought that up on YouTube. What if Isaiah Bolden would have stuck around? He was okay he was all right at catching kickoffs.
And, yeah, maybe he would have been a solid punt returner. But you look, so that was my point, though. The portal this year, when you talk about trimming the fat, and I really don't like referring to student athletes like that, but all of these names, every single one that has entered the portal is somebody that has not done anything at Florida State, really. Nothing of note. Chuba is the only one that you think might even be somewhat of a loss. just these guys hadn't proven they could play at this level. At least Florida State coaches didn't believe so. So there aren't really big losses. You've lost 13 guys, none of whom you think were going to start or even get significant playing time for you next year. When you talk about turning over a roster, this is how it looks again in 2021. You are flipping this thing quickly. You've lost and so my point is, last year you lost a lot of guys too, but you lost, like, you know, Warren Thompson hadn't done much at Florida State, but we knew there was some talent there. They could have used him this year. They certainly could have used Corey Durden. They probably could have used Jaden Lars Woodby. And even guys like Trayshawn Harrison.
DJ Matthews would have been nice.
DJ Matthews for sure, because you know he's going to go catch a punt. So those were, and again, he made some big plays for them. So there were big losses, relatively. Not like, you know, they weren't losing Heisman candidates, but they lost contributors last year in the portal. So far, you don't want to jinx it, they haven't lost anyone in the portal that would be of note. So now you've lost 13 guys. Say you replace them with 13 transfers and you hit on 70% of them, 9 guys that can actually play. Man, you have upgraded all across the board just in the portal. So that's you know, when you look at that, like, usually when you look at all these players leaving a program, like Virginia Tech last year, 2 years ago, they were losing really good players. And you're like, what's going on, man? What's going on? What's happening there? Why do they hate Fuente? This is different. This is Florida State, I think, being a little aggressive, maybe, and saying, look, you can stay here. We're certainly not going to pull your scholarship, but just know this. And then, you know, you're not going to play. And so they might be encouraging guys to get in the portal, but that opens up so much space for them to get ready-made players available for next year. They are turning over this roster and infusing it, you hope. You're not going to trade a Jalen Goss and then get a lineman that's worse. You know what I mean? Or a Carter Boatwright. Man, you don't need any more tight ends, guys. You don't have to replace Carter Boatwright. Just be cool with 6 tight ends. But all these other guys, like, you know, McCluster and True Thompson, those guys weren't going to play. They weren't good enough. You hopefully are going to get in the portal and get ready-made guys at defensive tackle and linebacker. So those are huge, significant upgrades immediately. You're taking advantage of the system. Like, it, you know, I feel bad for these kids that are maybe getting pushed out, or at least not pushed out. I don't want to phrase it like that, but they might be encouraged, or at least they're not being begged to stay. You know, there was a reason that Jalen Goss walked on senior day. His time at Florida State was up. I hate hammering on Jalen Goss, but realize he was here for 4 years and never played a snap that mattered. Not one. So now you're going to hopefully, theoretically, replace him with a guy that can really play, and that's the beauty of the portal. That's why rebuilds, you know, I know Jeff talks about it a lot, that it's a long rebuild. Yeah, it's a long rebuild to get back to championship status, maybe, because I don't think this is sustainable to become a championship team, is to completely overflip, you know, to get 45 new players in the span of 2 years or a year and a half. But it's not a long rebuild to get to respectability. With the portal. The portal makes that pretty simple. Like, they were pretty respectable this year, despite the 5-7 record. And a lot of that was because of the portal. Now, again, next year, you have a chance to be, we don't even know what the roster is going to be.
That's what I'm saying. I just, this whole, again, setting these expectations of, all right, you know, from 3 to 5, let's get to 7 or 8. I don't expect we're going to, I don't think I'm going to have the bar set at 8. I really think there's going to be a big expectation for a big jump. It's year 3. It's time. And the luxury of the portal and being able to churn through your roster and get proven pieces. And to your point, man, like, these guys that they're losing, somebody was like, oh, you know, we keep talking about all the pieces they're going to add. Who are they going to lose? Man, I don't think Florida State's going to lose anybody of significance. I can't think of anybody outside of Jordan
Travis.
Well,
not in the portal, you mean.
Well, even to the NFL, Fabian,
well,
that would suck.
Jermaine Johnson is a huge loss.
Well, but you can't keep him, though. Like,
oh, I say guys that are eligible to come back.
Yeah. You know, gotcha. Maybe Amari decides he wants to go to the NFL. That'd be kind of a bummer. If Fabian decides he wants to go to the NFL, that'd be kind of a bummer. But, again, you're just going to have all these options to add instant improvement, man. Maybe even guy on offensive line, if you're one of those people that thinks that we're just hopeless there. I mean, it's hard to think that Travis Hunter's not going to find a way to affect football games for this team next year. So, you know, that's why I think, to me, it's exciting. Maybe anxious to some people, and I don't think it'll be for this coaching staff. I think the coaching staff is going to embrace it. They're going to try to bring in as much instant impact as they can. And let's get this thing to 10 wins, man. Let's get to 10 wins. Let's beat.
Oh,
let's
all right. You're taking that jump. Well, let's see what the roster is, right?
Yeah.
I thought with the way their roster was structured this year, because they do have some holes, let's admit it. Wide receiver, not good. O-line, not great. Serviceable, but not great. Linebackers, not good. 6-6, 7-5, 5-7, that was the window we thought. And they were so bad in that one game, that cost them a bowl trip. But other than that, they played like how we thought the roster said they should play. Well, you know, I know you're losing two really good defensive ends, but other than that, and those are big losses, I'm not trying to stress that, the defensive line is huge. It's the most important, probably, position in football. If you can at least stay within that realm, we know you're not going to get probably the ACC Defensive Player of the Year again in the portal. That might have been a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Who knows? But you can go get some players that can really play, and hopefully you develop the guys that are on your roster. If you can just stay pretty good or at, you know, above average at defensive line and then get better, appreciably better everywhere else, then yeah, there's no reason to say it can't be an 8 or 9 win team. We just don't know what the roster is going to be like. But that's their job right now. Like, I don't want to be here again in October talking about, well, Dillingham's doing the best he can with what he has. It's like, well, you have the ability to go get anybody in the country.
Yep.
Not just recruits. There are players transferring all. The portal is full. There are people falling out of it. You can go get really good players, and it's on you, coach, to go get players across the country that want to come play for you. That is your job. That is part of your job description. Not just game planning with the groceries that are bought for you. You control what groceries are bought. So that's where this next 2 weeks, 2 months is so vital to this season, to 2022, because you're going to get some fifth-year seniors, some grad transfers, but they're out there. They can make you appreciably better. How about this, Aslan? I saw a kid, don't remember his name. He just entered the portal around 5 o'clock on Tuesday. He's a Presbyterian wide receiver.
I don't want anybody from that culture. That's a coach that never punts. Never punts.
Oh, is that right?
Never punts.
So that's, but he had 80 catches for like 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Don't want it.
And he's an Arkansas native.
Mike Norvell doesn't need any more. He doesn't need any more motivation to go for it on fourth down. I don't need any more.
This kid's going to be this year. I know it's 4th and 11 at your own 9, coach.
Come on.
But I'm open. I can get back. I can get free here. I promise.
Golly, 80 for 1,120 and 12 scores. 5'10", 175, though, Corey. That's not your cup of tea.
Could be a slot guy. You're right. Maybe not an outside guy. I don't know anything about him other than those numbers, and it's Presbyterian.
Hey, Arkansas native. Norvell's got some feelers out there in the natural state. So
that's what I'm saying. But you there's no excuse not to get two, at least one, but probably two really good receivers and two really good linemen.
Productive.
And two or three linebackers, a couple of defensive ends. They're all out there. They're all on the shelf. Wait for you to come put them in your cart. It's up to you. That's part of your job, is to go get these guys. And if they do, then yeah, I don't think a massive rebuild, like Michigan State was in a massive rebuild, and I think they're going to a New Year's Six game now.
Yep.
Like, because he just flipped the roster so quickly. And my point being, this, I know it's weird that like you celebrate people leaving, but they're freeing up so many spots because you think they have, there's a method here. Like, okay, we've got 13 kids in the portal and they may not be done. They might end up with 16 kids in the portal or 18 kids, but they're going to replace them, you think, you hope, with much better players. And then that makes, you know, you go from 5-7 to 8-4.
Well, there's still the limit, though. There's a 25 limit, and then I think they added 7 that you can sign as transfer portal guys. So even if they lose like 28 guys or something crazy.
Well, you're not going to replace all of those, right?
Right. Yeah. So you won't be at 85, but still, who really is at 85? And you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
The turnover is you're losing with seniors and transfer portal guys. You're losing about 30 guys, right? Probably when
Sounds
it's all said
right.
and done.
Yeah.
25 to 30, and you're replacing them with at least 10 or 12 transfers plus the Travis Hunters of the world. So your roster should be more talented next year than it was this year, even with the loss of Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas. But go find you another one of those.
Yeah, according to AP, it says the waiver will allow teams to sign 25 players plus as many as 7 transfers. So I don't know if that caps you at 7 or you can use that 25 however you want.
You can, yeah. It's 32 total, I guess, is what it is. So you know, that's
significant. That's
I was going to say, I'm trying to do some quick math. That's, I don't know, 40% of your roster is being overhauled.
I don't want to wait, everybody. We don't have to wait. We don't have to. Don't let people tell you to be patient. Nope.
You have to wait to be great.
Nope.
You don't have to wait to be 8-win-ish.
Well, you just said Michigan State's going to New Year's Six Bowl. Come on.
Yeah, but they weren't great. That's Michigan State, man. That's great for Michigan State. For Florida State.
I'll take that.
Well, right.
Corey,
but again, that's not the
Didn't win national titles every year with Bobby Bowden. I know we try to act like we did. We didn't win national titles every year. And the fact that Jimbo didn't win a national title every year didn't mean he was a failure. We still made it to New Year's Six Bowls, and we usually won them. Those are good seasons, and you beat your rivals.
That's not the point. Is you're yelling at me. The point is that's not the end of the rebuild at a place like Florida State. That's not the overarching goal. Is let's get to a New Year's Six Bowl. You could perhaps theoretically do that next year, depending on how the transfer portal breaks out. You could win the ACC. Clemson doesn't have Venables anymore. They might go 5-7 next year. We have no idea what Dabo's going to do without that dude. But to get to where Florida State fans want to be, which is a national championship contender, Michigan State was not one of those. Like, you saw some of those games, man. Like, they were good. They were a great story. They're not beating Alabama or Georgia. Florida State is trying to get up to that level. And that's going to be more than a year turnaround. Because you've got to build from within for that kind of stuff. Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia, they sprinkle transfers in, but they are built up through development and through big-time recruits that get better as they get older. That's how you build a championship contender. But, yeah, you can build at least as good a program as Pitt. You know what I mean? Like Pitt, you know, you could have as much talent as Pitt next year. You don't have the quarterback. That guy's awesome. But you might have more talent on your roster. You probably will next year than Pitt will. Because that's what the transfer portal gives you. It affords you. But I that's what my point is. To be back where they were, where they're a consistent championship contender, and they're hauling in five-star, you know, top five recruiting classes, that's going to take a minute. But getting to 9, 8, 9, 10 wins, competing for an Atlantic Division title, that doesn't have to be 4 years.
No, you
the
just
portal
said 10?
Has opened it up.
I'm not saying I want 10 wins. I think 10 wins
right,
is fair.
Hey.
I think right. at this place, in this conference, with what you're able to get, with what you can do with your roster these days in this day and age, 10 I don't think is asking for the moon. But Corey's kind. He just doesn't want to. I don't know if Corey is. I don't know if you're protecting the feelings of our subscribers. Like, you don't want them to get too high, or you just feel like it's unfair to ask. It's putting an unfair onus on Mike Norvell. So I don't know where you're at on that. But
that would be a lot of coin tosses you're winning. Maybe they'll be lucky. Maybe they'll make all the plays in the fourth quarter they need to make. But, you know, I know LSU is under new leadership, but, you know, you have LSU in New Orleans, you have Clemson, you have Florida, you have at Miami.
And Tallahassee, though, in there coming in.
Well, right. But still.
There's a coin flip in Clemson, so, hey.
There's plenty of winnable games. There's plenty of losable games. I don't know that you jump from 5 wins to 10 wins, but you know what? I'm not saying it's not possible, buddy. Let's see what this roster looks like. Let's see how many big-time receivers they bring aboard, and a couple of big-time linemen.
Stanford Samuels Jr. is out there. The one that laid out Roscoe Parrish. Willie let him go.
Oh, so. All right.
Hey, Stanford, come home, man. Hold, you know, be an analyst.
Okay.
Help out with the kids that visit from Miami area.
Yeah, he's from down there. Yeah. He's from Miami.
Well, yeah, Willie. I feel there's a guy named Seminole Owl. Like Seminole, but it's Seminole.
Got it. Clever.
He's an FSU and an FAU alum, and he's on our message boards. Imagine.
Oh,
that
actually
guy.
Is clever then.
Yeah.
That is clever. Good work.
Imagine that poor guy. He's just like, he's
can't
hurt.
Get away from Willie.
Yeah, he's hurt, man. I feel bad for him. I want to put my arms around him. All right, we are done. That's a wrap for the show. Don't forget Thursday, 7 p.m., recruiting chat with Michael Langston as we approach ever closer to early signing day on the 15th. Before that, though, obviously, Jeff Cameron, 1 to 3 p.m.
Hey, what do you think we should do? I think we should have one live show, you and I, before Christmas.
Okay. We do
what are you thinking?
Week,
this is an on-air production meeting. I guess we could do it tomorrow, though Brady's got a basketball game, I think.
I was thinking next week, though, because this week we actually have stuff to do. A live show, we lean on you people to give us content, but we've got probably an 80 that's going to get hired. We have Ira come talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we're
you're
good.
Right. What about, so I was thinking next week, but next week would be signing day if we did it on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So we could do a Thursday live edition next Thursday, and it could be our Friday show. Or we could do a live Tuesday edition, and it could be our Wednesday show. But I feel like Tuesday. We're going to do a live show. We should be talking about signing day, not before. That's just me thinking. I don't know. Hey, you know what, everyone? We'll work it out. Yeah. Aslan and Corey will work it out. That was weird that you had to listen to that. We apologize. But, hey, you get what you pay for.
By the way, somebody said that two things. First, they love the story about Brady and his drama thespian career. Right. And then somebody said, sounds like the middle school still had a better production than the ACC network. So
I got well, that. It was close. They did add, it was weird. At the intermission, they did advertise these see at night binoculars, which I thought was odd. I was like, where's this coming from? These Bushnell, like you can be in the dark and like hunt deer or unsuspecting campers or whatever you do with those things. So that was odd. But yeah, I guess that's where the similarities ended.
There we go. All right, that's a wrap for us. Jeff Cameron coming up 1 to 3 o'clock live on our YouTube channel, as well as 93.3 FM in Tallahassee. Hit the thumbs up on the way out. Maybe leave a 5-star rating and a review. That would be super cool. He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thank you again for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.